Morning. It's good to be with you once again today. Do you ever feel like you're stuck in a spot? Wherever it might be, do you ever feel like you're just stuck? And maybe a deeper question, do you ever feel like you are ever stuck in your relationship with God? In his book, Developing the Leader Within You, author John C. Maxwell lays out 5 layers of influence for every leader. He argues that when you go into a new workplace, into a community, or even into new friendships, that you'll influence people based on how you move up this ladder. It starts out at the first step, position. It then moves to permission, production, people development, and finally ends in personhood. Position is based on rights and obligations. People follow basically because they have to. If you go into a new job, or if you get a new boss, you listen to them simply because they're your boss. And permission is where relationship starts to build in. No longer is it only about your position and an obligation to follow your boss, maybe. But there is now a little bit of skin in the game. You're starting to know them, and it's not just based on who they are, but a little bit more of your relationship with them. And you can follow this all the way up. You go into production and people development, and it's based solely on what you can get out of the relationship. The production being based on how much material you can get out of a relationship. The people development based on how that person makes you feel. And it continues to build and it continues to develop. And the gold standard of leadership and influence is personhood. And that's where there's a genuine respect for an individual based solely on who they are. Not what you can get from them, not what they do with them, not by what position they hold. It's based solely on the person that they are. Our relationships often hold to this pattern. And in our relationship with God, we often hold to this as well. And we move up this ladder of who we are in our relationship with God. And we try to dig into to just who he is. We try to dig into what we need to be doing on the basis of who we're following. And we start to move all the way up. And as we move, we can be stuck on levels in our relationship with God and with others. And our challenge is always to be working to take the next step. Will you pray with me as we dig into what it means to take the next step in our relationship with God? Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be influenced by you. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you lead us in your love, that you lead us in growing in knowledge and in wisdom, Lord. We just pray that today our hearts will be open and our minds will be ready to receive what you have to say to us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your Son, for what he did on the cross, for the way that he took steps for us to be in relationship with you. And Lord, we pray that we just treasure that today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Prepare us for your word. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 has showed us so far that because of the steps that Christ has taken, we are on a journey. We are on a journey to know God more and become closer in our relationship with God. To show us the relationship that we have through the actions that Jesus took. And we show that in our everyday lives of what God has done for us. We see in our journey the next steps becoming more like Christ seems to be a pattern. The same process that we find ourselves in our relationship with others, we find ourselves in our relationship with God. We see that there's more than just following a position, but we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives and to influence us with who we really are. We see that we're made not to just follow orders, but to truly follow God. And so as we look at this morning, we look together at how we move from receiving commands to truly being in relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's going to show us how Christ's influence can increase in our lives. The first place that we sometimes find ourselves in, and this is an area that we can sometimes get stuck in, is noticing our obligation to God. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 13 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, then you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live." It tells us that we have an obligation to follow. The first thing that we're keen about, if we're honest, is that we have obligations. Day after day, time after time, whatever relationship we're in, we feel an obligation to that relationship, to that person, to invest in it. Maybe it's a job that you feel an obligation that you have to get A, B, and C done before you leave the workday. Maybe it's an obligation to your family to really be involved and active in their growth. Maybe it's an obligation to a friend to meet more than just once a week or once a month. In different relationships, we have different obligations. And obligations can be good things and they can be bad things. They can be things that influence us to really make us sit down and do things for one another. To give of ourselves and to not just be receiving time and time again. But they can also be things that hinder us in getting into ruts and to getting it into doing things solely based on that obligation and thinking that we have to do this. When I was young, I would get up in the mornings. And there would be a few mornings after Friday night football games, after Saturday night hanging out with friends, and I'd get up in the morning and I'd go to Mom and I'd say, "Mom, do I have to go to church today?" And she'd say, "No, honey, you don't have to go to church. You get to go to church." Made it a little bit easier that we were right across the street. But I hope that we never, in our relationship with God, base it solely on our obligations to God. We don't have to be in relationship with God. We don't have to do the things that the Bible tells us to do. We get to do those things. We get to do those things. It should be out of the joy of knowing who God is and what He has done for us that we do those things. And you know what? It is an obligation. Our lives should be changed. Our actions should reflect what God has done for us and the identity that we've put on. But let us never get stuck in the obligation. In God's love, He has given us a choice to either choose to follow Him or we can choose to follow ourselves. He's given us a choice, but He's also made it pretty obvious which one to choose. If you would, walk into a store with me. You want to buy an entertainment center. And for the same price, you can either buy that entertainment center, take it home, and go through the box, go through the parts, and build it yourself. Or you can buy it at the store, The manufacturer will come to your home, set it up for free, get everything hooked in, get everything set up all together, and you're ready to go. Which one do you choose? If you've ever been to IKEA, you know which one. We have a choice, but the choice is clear. You see, whether you choose to live by your sinful nature or you choose to live by God's Holy Spirit that He has given us, it will cost you your life. If you live by your flesh, not meaning to be fire and brimstone this morning, but if you live by your flesh, we serve a God who is just and will honor your choice. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. It lays it out crystal clear. If we choose to live by our flesh, we will die. There's also reality that living by the Spirit is putting to death your own sinful nature, your own sinful desires. It will still cost you your life, but you give your life to Christ for Him to give you life right back. Romans 8:13 says it, that putting to death the misdeeds of your body, but doing so, you will live. So which one do you choose? We find ourselves in this obligation first because He is God. Because He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is the first and the last. He is God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. The universe is in His hands. And we have an obligation to be in awe of who God is. We're obliged to give Him our life because He has given us our life from the very beginning. I don't know about your parents, but when my parents wanted to get us to do something, and we would talk back, or we would try to get out of it, they each had favorite lines. For my mom, her favorite line seemed to be, I brought you into this world. Anybody finish it? And I can take you out. And for my father, it was because I'm your father, that's why. Both lent themselves straight to the conclusion that we had an obligation to their authority. And in our relationship with God, we do have an obligation to His authority. We follow Him in part simply because He's worthy to be followed. He brought us into this world. He can take us out. He has the authority because of who He is to obtain our obedience because He is God. He is our Father. Here's the thing, though. God doesn't leave the relationship there. God doesn't want to stay on the bottom of level of influence in your life. God doesn't want just a boss-employee relationship with you. He doesn't want to say, just because of my title, I deserve your obligation. Jesus coming down to this world shows us that God wants to be close to His creation. And Jesus' death shows us that God is doing whatever it takes to get there. So God moves us to the next step. And for some of us, that might be where we're stuck. We're stuck in the process of taking that next step, of allowing Christ to take us from just an obligation to what He has in store for us. Maybe we haven't taken the step. Maybe we only want to give God our obligation. And I wonder if you feel like God is distant today, if you feel like He's too far away to care, too busy to see, too high to swoop down to your level, if you're feeling that today, you need to know that God wants to take His influence in your life to a whole nother level. God wants to take the next step. God didn't leave us at obligation. You see, God came down and brought us into adoption. Continuing back in chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." You see, God has taken us from slaves and He has made us sons and daughters. God has transformed the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. What Christ did when He came down made it so that we could be close to God. So that God could make you and I His temple. So that people didn't have to go to a building to be with God. They didn't have to get into a structure. They didn't have to go through their rituals to be close to God, but God could come and He could live in us. God wanted to restore creation to its original design, where He could have people to love, relationships to build. We look back at the beginning of the story in Scripture. We see the Garden of Eden, when God created the world, when He gave man and women their breath. And we see Him walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. Wouldn't you love to go on one of those walks with God? They walked in a perfect relationship, in peace and trust and love with one another. But that perfect relationship, soon broken by sin. But from then on, the Bible records God's plan and God's mission to bring that relationship back. To bring people back to that perfect relationship with Him. Culminating in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, paying the price for sin once and for all. We see Christ rise up from the grave, showing that that relationship that had been broken, that had been restored. The penalty of death was paid once and for all. From then on, it had no power over God's creation. And when Jesus rose up, it showed that there was no power over the King of creation. And let me tell you, that King wants you in His kingdom. By what Jesus did on the cross, we can now be called children of God. Children of God. And we are now children who look to our Father. We are children who cry out, Abba, Father. Is that who we are? Is that who we are in our relationship with God? When you're hurt, whose shoulder do you cry on? When you're in trouble, who do you run to? Romans 8:15 tells us the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you to your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Is God who you run to? When you're scared, when you don't know what to do, is God the one that you go to? God adopted you not so that He could just boss you around, not so you can make you do work, not so you can get your chores done. God loves you, and He wants to care for you so much that he brought you into his family. He paid the price so that you could be his son, his daughter, because he loves you. He wants to pull you close. He wants to bring you in so that we're no longer living in lives of fear for what this world holds. In this world, there will be trouble. There will be frightening times that come. There will be things that knock us off our guard. But we can take heart, for Christ has overcome this world. God provides shelter for us to be able to run to him, crying to our Father when we're in need of help. When we don't know what the answer is, we know that he will answer. Sometimes for letting us know that we are right where he wants us. Sometimes allowing us to grow in our waiting, and sometimes working in miraculous ways so that we can see his hand and his love and his care in our lives. He is our Father that we can run to at any hour, on any day. We can go to him because he cares about us. He has claimed us. He has put our mark on us that we can shine out to the world. And that mark is the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 tells us that it is the Spirit himself that testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You see, God's Spirit provides the proof that we are God's children. The work that God's Spirit does in our lives, the way that it influences us, the way that it makes us act, the way that it makes us carry ourselves, is our indication to the world that we are sons and daughters. Be the light that God has called them to be. We need sons and daughters of the King who wear their crowns with pride, who display the evidence that God has given them that they are his. It's who we are, sons and daughters of the King. And being sons and daughters of the King, we have an inheritance. In verse 17, it says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." You see, there will be times when the road is bumpy. We inherit a little bit of both. You know, sometimes you look at your parents, you look at your mom and dad, and you're so thankful for some of the things that you got from them. And other times, we all have those things, those characteristics in us that we're like, yes, I'm like my parents in that way. And we all have those things where we're like, yeah, I'm kind of like my mom and dad in that way. And they would probably say the same thing about their children. But we inherit Christ's suffering. There are times when we'll be stuck in the mud. There'll be times when we don't know what the next step holds. Let's face it, to give up what our flesh desires, to give up our sinful nature, at times it's going to be hard. But we trust not only that we'll inherit the suffering that Christ went through on the cross, but we will also inherit Christ's glory. What Jesus did for us in sharing his glory was opening the gates to be able to spend eternity with him. You and I can now approach the throne of God marked by our adoption to be fellow heirs in the kingdom of God. It's what Christ did for us and the opportunity that we have to take our next step in following Christ. today, if you're stuck on that level of obligation to God, of God just being a boss that you have to listen to, a list that you have to check the boxes off on, today will you let God do something great in your heart? Will you allow Him to take the next step to influence your life? He has paid the price so that you can be His son and His daughter. Will you choose today for yourself who you serve and who you trust to lead and to influence your life and the way that you live? Will you do so knowing that God loves you and He calls you to be His child? If you need to make the next step, we want to welcome you today to come forward and to talk about what it means to take your next step. We pray that you will give God your life, that you will allow Him to work in amazing ways, and that you will allow Him to move you past just a list to follow, but a life to live in love. Pray that you'll do that today. Will you please stand and pray with me as we close?